Sexy Red or Lotto?
I'm going to go with Lotto, bro. I think Sexy Red is, and no disrespect to her, I just think Sexy Red is just the next thing that's up.
Do you believe in industry plants?
Yeah, and I'm not going to say she is one, but I'm going to say she is one. I'm saying what this music is doing to the industry, bro, and what it's doing to these kids, bro.
They got elementary kids, bro, dancing, playing around the Pound Town. It's crazy, bro, knowing all the lyrics.
All the lyrics.
This is not specifically about just Sexy Red, because she's not the only one.
No,
and for sure. You're not a hater because you're saying that. You are observing something.
Yeah.
Like, the industry controls what's popular.
Right.
The radio control what's popular. Mm-hmm. So if they are only putting money behind this and pushing this in your heads, how do you not see this is them trying to control a mindset?
Right, for sure.
And also a narrative about black girls, black men. Mm-hmm. If they only pushing the gangster rap, killing, sliding on someone, holding, screwing several niggas in a week, and it don't matter. You know what I'm saying?
Bro,
it's like, I don't want my daughter to be a Sexy Red, and that ain't being funny. That's just a fact.
Bro, I would feel less of a man. I wouldn't even feel like a father if my daughter grew up to become a Sexy Red, bro. Like, and it's not Sexy Red, because who is Sexy Red? We don't know her story, like,
right,
that, bro. Can't fault her for doing what she got to do to provide for her family, but it's like, at some point you got to come to your senses. At some point you got to say, hey, money can't buy me.
The Highest Point Podcast.
More than a pod, it's a lifestyle.
Yo, 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 welcome to the Highest Point Podcast. This is a podcast for everyone, no matter where you're from, no matter what you've been through. You know you deserve the best and willing to put in the work for progress to reach the highest point. Now, speaking about reaching the highest point, ladies and gentlemen, we have a very special guest in the building. I'm talking about a man who put all the chips on the table and bet on himself. We got Mr. Joshua Isaiah in the building. What's good with you, homie?
What's up, man? How you doing? It's a pleasure to be here, boss.
Hey, man, it's good to have you here, man. We glad you fellas made it down here, man. You came all the way from what, Myrtle Beach?
Myrtle Beach, South Carolina.
Yo, that's hard right there. And, man, like, listen to you all music and everything, I can tell there's a lot of talent down there. But I'm not going to get directly into the music right now because, you know, on our show, we like to focus on the journey, I guess.
For sure.
You know what I'm saying? A lot of times people see the end result and just think it happened overnight.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? You out here doing your thing in construction, real estate, music. You know what I'm saying? You're doing these videos, doing so many different things. And people can assume, like, okay, yeah, he was just blessed with that. That just all that work just happened overnight. And we know that's not how it works. So I want to start off with, can we get some background about, you know, where you from and what was your family dynamics growing up? Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, I live on the beach. I live in Myrtle Beach, but I'm from Conway, South Carolina. So if you're not familiar, you kind of got to go through Conway to get to Myrtle Beach if you don't know your way around, because 501 is like crazy, crazy hectic. But small city, but, you know, it's growing, you know, populating. It's pretty much just running rampant right now. But I'm just a kid from Conway, man. But family dynamic was a little different. Hard growing up, you know, like my dad walked out on me when I was around like between the ages of 6 and 8, and then my stepfather came in the picture, and I can't say it went up from there, because I used to live in a 2-bedroom trailer,
mm-hmm.
with 8 people, man. So like, I remember when we first moved in, we ain't had no water, we ain't had a septic tank, and we ain't had no lights, bro. So just to be able to go through that struggle and to see where I'm at now, like, it ain't happen overnight. Like,
yeah.
I spent many nights hungry. I spent many nights with nothing, bro, because, I mean, I'm just one of 6.
And right.
I'm 6 kids, so, you know, 3 boys, 3 girls, so it's kind of split that way. But, man, we come from the struggle, bro. Like, when I say it was a struggle to struggle, like,
yeah. It
was really bad. But, I mean, I'm grateful for everything that I've been through.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, growing up in the country and, you know, in the trailer, you know, just low grade of life, bro, like not having nothing, you know. Only thing I really had was, you know, God and this music. And, you know, I played sports, of course, was really good at that. But I mean, looking at where I'm at now, it's been a journey, bro. It's been a journey. But that's just like a small summary, just a kid that came from absolutely nothing, bro, like hungry and desperate.
Yeah, that's what's up. So that means you got a story to tell.
Mm-hmm.
And when he said septic tank, ladies and gentlemen, if you don't know what a septic tank is, you ain't from the country.
Yeah, man. Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? Like, because, you know, I'm familiar with trailers. I'm from the country. You know what I'm saying? Like, I done lived in a trailer park. You know what I'm saying? Like, go back home. My mom living a double wide right now. Yeah. You dig? But that was home.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, I didn't know that we was poor growing up, because, like, my family, you know what I'm saying? Fortunately for me, I did have my moms, my pops. We grew up, all my siblings right there in the same house as well. I got three brothers, mm-hmm. one sister. So I understand how it is with having a big family in a smaller space, mm-hmm. but, you know, making it work. Now, when it comes to that stepfather thing, your father, your biological pops, you know, dipping around 6 and 8 mm-hmm. years old. And then you have this new gentleman coming in your life. How was that transition for you?
It was tough in the beginning because I was like, you're not my father. You know what I mean? Like, but I mean, eventually he earned my respect and I started calling him dad, you know what I mean? But you know, a stepfather is somebody that can really step up and provide that role of a man, you know? So, cause there's only but so much a woman can do, you know, like my mom, you know, being a single mother at the time with all these kids, it's not much that you really can do, honestly, bro. That's why we was hungry all the time. So, when he came into my life around like between 8 or 9, mm-hmm. I was old enough to be able to think for myself and be like, right. yo, this is not the man that I long for. You know what I'm saying? Right. Like, I used to cry after my father, you know, he would make promises he wouldn't keep. And that kind of, it pretty much dug a void in my heart, bro. And I grew angry. So, being able to have that anger and that frustration, it kind of took me down a path that most people don't recover from. It took me right. down a path that I've seen a lot of people didn't make it from, you know, and I got kicked out of every school I could think of, you know, like being tied up in the system and going through everything because I was just searching for love, wanting to be accepted. And I just couldn't understand like why my biological father didn't want nothing to do with me.
Right.
Like, am I that much of a bad kid? Like, you know, like I don't bother nobody. I'm quiet. You know, I'm respectful. You know what I'm saying? I just want that father because a man needs a father, bro.
Right. Like,
and if you don't have a father, bro, life is hard. It was already hard, bro.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
growing up in the trailer with nothing. Like I ain't had anything. We was right. dirt poor, bro. I remember I used to draw on my pants, bro, like just to make them look like something. You know, I would go to school. The kids would pick on me, you know what I'm saying, about how I look, you know, because I had hair and everything. Like I looked different from everybody, but it just made me navigate life a little different. So I was forced to kind of grow up, you know, like right. being an old soul is what mama would say, man, you're an old soul. Cause I was just so far beyond my time, you know, far as like, you know, my intellect and my knowledge and how I was able to pick up on things. So like, I knew we was poor. I knew we didn't have much, but right. you know, I was like, you know, I'm not going to just sit back and just take it. You know what I mean? Like I'm gonna chase football. I'm gonna become something. I'm gonna draw my clothes. I'm gonna turn my shirt inside out so it could look like something. Cause I didn't have name brand shoes. You know what I mean? Like I was lucky to get a pair of Converse or Reeboks, you know, like, and it was tough, man. Like it was hard, bro. But, I mean, I just had to go through it, you know, cause it's not really what life gives you is what you get back to life. You know what I mean? So being able to take that and just deal with the cards that was dealt, you know what I mean? And you got to play your hand. And unfortunately, I ain't really have much to play, but that's how I know God is real, you know?
Yeah, for sure, for sure. That's a fact. Now, how long do you think you searched to fill that void when your father left? Because I know, like, I'm hearing that turmoil that you was having.
Yeah, bro.
You know what I'm saying? Like, even, like, when your stepfather came in, it took a while to accept him. Yeah. I'm a stepfather, so I can understand what you're saying. You know what I'm saying? So, do you even feel like that void has been filled?
Honestly, bro, I just turned 30 this year. I ain't forget my biological father until I was 23.
Wow.
So it's like I carry that for a long time, bro, like angry, bro. So I had a lot of cries that was not unheard. I had a lot of cries that were unheard, my bad. You know, it was just crying in silence, bro, and I suffered. But that turmoil, like when my stepfather came in, it took, I probably say it took, because he had a son as well. You know what I'm saying? That became my brother, you know, so that's what made 6 of us. So for a man to take on a woman that got 5 kids, bro.
Yeah.
Like, come on, man. They don't make them like that no more, bro.
Yeah,
like
different.
They don't make a man like that. So I watched this man get up every day and work for a family. So that's why I attribute my work ethic to him in a sense because, bruh, I mean, if he can get up nonstop and just grind, that's why I work so hard, bro, because I got to retire my parents, bro.
Right.
I got to retire my parents, dude. Like, that's what I do. I do it for them because I ain't have much, but they did everything they could to say, hey, we're going to make sure you got food on the table, clothes over your back,
right.
and a roof over your head. Even though that roof may have leaks or there's holes in the floor, you got somewhere to lay your head. You know what I mean? The fridge may be empty, but we're going to get help. So, yeah, we got government assistance with food stamps, but eventually that gets cut off at some point. So,
oh, yeah.
You know, but yeah, just to tie back to your question, it took a while. It took a few years for that change to happen. But he eventually, you know, gained my respect because I'm like, yo, that's a real man right there. You know what I'm saying? Like, you are a real man. That's a role model. So me and him got close. And what's so ironic is he was a DJ. You know, so that and he was the one who showed me, hey, this is this thing. I don't know if you ever heard of it, but it's called Acid. It's a software. So I started with Acid 1.2.0. and eventually got to 3.0. So he pretty much, it was just a godsend thing, man. He pretty much introduced me to acid, and that's how I started making beats.
Dope.
You know what I mean? Then I got in the studio for the first time around like 9 years old, and it was just from there. Look at my life now. So that musical journey kind of started with him being able to see something in me and unlocking that door.
Yeah,
Not even knowing, you know, so yeah.
Facts, that's hard.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, because I was going to literally ask you how you got into the music. So, you know, we can see that. And then, again, coming from a stepfather's perspective as well, like, yeah, when you are a stepdad, a lot of times, like, you know, when how we feel on the inside is, but we can't show it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, you probably seen, like, your stepfather's face card most of the time. Mm-hmm. But, you know, when he by himself, you know, he might feel a little sad. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's going to take a while for this young man to accept me, but I see something special in him. Mm-hmm. I'm going to do what it takes to try to help pull that out of him.
Sure.
So, and just, you know, hearing you, when you have that click moment, like other people that's listening, you know, a lot of us grow up in family dynamics of, you know, mixed.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Sure. Like, so many of us. And once you do get it, I think it's important to allow that person to know.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever had that conversation with him before?
So recently we've been talking, you know, because he's a quiet man. Like he's a man that's like poised, you know what I mean? Like my mom is the one that's like
a
loud person, you know what I mean? Like she's the one that's, you know, as far as the spearhead, you know what I mean? So, I mean, she had no choice to be, you know, because my mom, she got pregnant at an early age, like, you know, like 14,
yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's like, she ain't had no choice but to get out of the mud. And then I came second, you know, after my older brother. Mm-hmm. So it's like that whole situation, just watching her go through things with my biological father and the things that they went through, you know, it was just tough, bro, because I didn't have a role model. Like, my mom was my superhero at the sense, you know. Like, that was my superhero, and everything I did was for her, but we wasn't close. Mm-hmm. And the reason why we wasn't close is because I wanted my dad, you know what I'm saying? I wanted my biological father. That's who I wanted, but he broke so many promises, bro.
Yeah.
And, you know, he did things where I'm like, yo, how could you treat somebody that's your own blood? How could you treat them that way?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, you treat me like I'm somebody else in the streets, and it's like what did I do to deserve it? But it's like, it's that generational thing, because who knows where his father was? I never seen my granddad, my biological father's dad. Maybe one time, bro. Like, so he didn't have a model, anything to model after of. So looking at it from a mature standpoint, like, how can someone be a father that didn't have a father? So when I'm looking back now, I'm thinking that he just probably ran away from responsibilities, but I never had that conversation with him. And not saying that I care to, but I mean, it's tough, bro. So, like, it took me a while. Like I said, it took me until I was 23 to even forgive him.
Yeah.
You know, I had to let go of that anger. I had to let go of that hurt, bro, because it was just really taking me down a path where I would self-medicate, taking me down a path where I would just lash out, you know, in certain situations. Like, I talk about certain stuff in my songs and in the book as well, you know, like, when we are taught at a young age to suck it up, to, you know, be tough and to, you know, not worry about it, be a man, don't let them see you cry. I ain't had times to cry, bro. From the time up until I was 23, I could remember every time I cried.
Yeah.
And there wasn't many, you know what I mean?
Right.
I'm like, I don't even know how to feel to even cry. You know what I mean? Because I became numb because I was so infiltrated with anger and frustration and disappointment. So I turned to sports to be my outlet.
Yeah.
But when that outlet get taken away, I mean, what else do you got left? So, you know, and I ended up in the streets. But to kind of segue back to, you know, with my stepfather, we talk more now because I want to give this man his flowers.
Right.
Before, you know, we all got to go at some point, but I want to give him his flowers, let him know, like, look, man, You were the reason why. Like, he sees the things I'm doing in music. He sees, you know, what's going on and how successful I am. And I'm like, a lot of this is because of you, bro. So I want you to know, like, you know, it's been tough in the beginning, but I got to give you your flowers, man. So it took a couple of years, but now looking back, I had a conversation with him not too long ago to say, man, you the reason why, and I'm going to give you that credit. I'm not giving it to nobody else. Like, God get all the credit, of course.
Yeah, for sure.
But he used you as an instrument to be able to, you know, unlock that door.
He was
a key, so.
And don't. He, like you said, he was laid back. He didn't do a lot of talking. That's why people, like, it's not just something cliche to say, but it's literally the truth. Action speaks so much louder than words. You know what I'm saying? You don't got to keep telling someone, I'm doing this, I'm doing this, I did all this. Yo, just do it. And then eventually, they going to see for themselves. They just fighting. It's just something they're fighting mentally.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So that's dope. And salute to him. And I hope you can still... Since you have forgave your, you know, biological pops, hope something could come from that too.
Right, for sure.
You know what I'm saying? Because still, I have accepted when my son look at me, he still don't see himself. Mm-hmm. So it's possible that his biological father can unlock something I may can't. Mm-hmm. And since I want what's best for him, I want him to still have that relationship with his father. You know what I'm saying? Because he may be able to still unlock a, even a different level, or you can even learn from his mistakes. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I wanted to, got Aries up in here. How did you all meet? You know what I'm saying?
So we linked up. I want to say it was through the first Bet on Me competition, but I think I seen bro probably one time before he actually did the challenge video. Mm-hmm. So then he did the challenge video. He won the first contest. So then that's when we really started spending time, really, you know what I'm saying, locking in, working. And then when it came to the second challenge, that's when I got with bro in the studio for the first time. And that's like when I really began to see his career, the process, how he was breaking his lyrics down. And everything. And it was just from there, it was just kind of like history. Like the song, the first challenge song was still going crazy. It's been continuing to go crazy and reaching new levels. So
oh, that's
you
dope.
Just gotta stay tapped in, locked in. We got plenty on the way too though.
Oh yeah, I already know. So this gonna bring us to our segment in the show called Who You Rocking With. So I'm gonna give you two options. You let me know which one you rocking with the most. You know what I'm saying? Who you rocking with? J. Cole or Kendrick Lamar?
Too easy, J. Cole. Too easy. And Kendrick, I mean, you got it's only the top three. I mean, you're gonna say either J. Cole said it himself, it's gonna be Kendrick, Aubrey, or me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So that's just it. But honestly, bro, like J. Cole, that's my favorite rapper. So like I don't care who you put up against him. It's gonna be J. Cole. It's gonna be Jermaine Cole all day, bro. Like that's just how I rock, you know what I mean? Cause that's who people compare me to. They compare me to J. Cole. Like, bro got me through some times, bro. Like
for sure.
Like, he got me through some times just with the music. I don't know, bro. I just feel like I hear myself when I listen to him as well. So as far as like who I'll probably model myself after would be J. Cole, bro. So that's my favorite rapper. That's number one. So whoever you put against J. Cole, I'm picking J. Cole 10 out of 10 every time.
Yeah, he dropping soon. He got some stuff coming. And this run he been on these last few years is crazy.
Nah, man. Like, how you go platinum with no features, bro? Like, what really gets me about J. Cole, bro, how come bro don't got no Grammy?
Yo, they hating on him.
Like,
I don't
get that, bro. Like, bro don't got no Grammy. Like, y'all don't hear what bro be saying? Like, I mean, everybody ain't just doing a feature with J. Cole, bro.
Right.
Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, bro really like that. You know
yeah,
what
yeah,
saying?
For so, sure.
Like,
I think he got one on that track he did with 21, but still, that was 21 track.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? He don't got none on his own, but he been deserving.
Yeah, I mean, look, I'm like this. If somebody want to do a feature with me, you got two options. Either you can go first.
Mm-hmm.
And I come behind you and got to play the cleanup man.
Right.
Or I'm going to go first and I'm going to set the ball high. And good luck.
You know what I'm saying?
Man, that's just how I view things. But man, J. Cole all day, bro. That's my favorite rapper. And he different, bro. Like, he a legend in my eyes, bro. Like, he changed the game for me, bro.
Yo, he's definitely a legend. Definitely sure, a legend. Bro. Vietnam.
Shout out to Fed.
For sure. I bet. And this is going completely different than all those. Sexy Red or Lotto?
Dang, bro. I'm gonna go with Lotto, bro. I ain't gonna lie to you. I gotta go with Lotto, hands down. I just think she's a better artist in a sense. I think Sexy Red is, and no disrespect to her, I just think Sexy Red is just the next thing that's up. But far as I look at it from a career of longevity, marketability, and things of that sort, I think Lotto, I mean, you can market her better. She writes songs better. I mean, whether she's writing or not, I just feel like, far as a songwriter, she got it. You know what I'm saying? There's a lot of ABC rappers out there. And that. But far as, like you said, you can have a hit. You'll get a hit. You know what I mean? But far as longevity, I'm going to say I'm going to rock with Lotto on that one. I think I like her music better in a sense. Not saying I listen to a lot of it. I've heard some songs. You can't not get past it, but it's going to be on YouTube. It's going to be on Facebook.
Right.
It's going to be on the radio every now and then. Like, it's just that. I'd rather listen to Lotto than
Sexy Red.
I can't do it, bro. I just can't do it. You know what I mean? So, like, I like the music that has some substance, bro. And just, if they ain't got substance, bro, like, I really can't rock with her, bro. Like, you know, because I don't really listen to many artists like that. But, I mean, her name is out there. She's everywhere.
Yeah, yeah, you can't everywhere. You can't miss her. She's out there. They pushing her like a mug. Do you believe in industry plants?
Yeah, I definitely do, bro. Like, I believe in industry plants, bro. And I'm not going to say she is one, but I'm going to say she is one. You know what I'm saying? Because, like, you don't, nowadays in this music industry, bro, you don't even got to be talented. Like bro was saying, like, Aries in the Cut was saying, he's like, man, you could just, you know, get out there and just put something out there. And that's it. But where's the quality? You know,
right.
Where's the substance? You know what I mean? Like, what else do you got? Like, you can have a one hit wonder, or you know, you can. I put it this way: there's a lot of money behind it and a lot of pushing with popularity, it don't matter what it sound like.
Right.
They're gonna force you to listen to it. They're gonna force you to hear it. You know what I mean? They're gonna force it upon you, and it's like me. I'm here to change the game, bro, because I'm seeing what this music is doing to the industry, bro, and what it's doing to these kids, bro, and it's like. And I can't buy with it, bro. Like, with every being in my soul, bro, like, I can't rock with it. So I got to combat it because, like I've really seen some things, bro.
Right.
I was almost a murder victim, bro, so I can't listen to murder music.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? But I ain't going to tell you, I ain't contemplated, you know what I'm saying, murder. You know what I'm saying? I'm from the streets, bro. I'm from the hood. So, like I get it, bro, but I'm not about to say I'm about to go slide. But I remember the times I almost slid.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? I remember the times that people slid on me. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? But it's all about, you know, not becoming a product of your environment, but it's also a fight for survival also. So I understand that you can talk about where you come from, what you've been through. You know what I'm saying? You can take the kid out of the hood, but when you grow up in the hood, bro, it's just something that you just can't, it's in you. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. It's embedded within your DNA. And I mean, I can't say I regret growing up in the hood, bro. I'm just glad and thankful. And I thank God that I made it out the hood, bro. Cause a lot of the people that I grew up with, that I slang with, that I bang with, bro, they not here. Bro.
Yeah,
and the ones that is here, they ain't here. You know what I mean? Like, they locked up in a cell doing 45 years or more. But it's just, man, this music industry, bro, they got plants, bro. And it's like, it's the people that's pushing a different motive. And I want to get them a different alternative. Like, yeah, I got bars. I got hard beats. Like, you know what I'm saying? Let's give you something that's going to move you in the right way. Not set you up to, you know what I'm saying, kill or be killed. You know what I mean? Like, nah, I can't rock with it, bro. So, yeah, it's industry plants. I mean, look at the little girls, man. Like, babies dancing the
downtown.
Man,
I'm telling you.
And babies doing this and twerking this and that.
They got elementary kids dancing, playing around the pound town. It's crazy. Bro, knowing all the lyrics.
All the lyrics. But they can't say the ABCs.
Right.
They know all the lyrics, but they have a hard time pronouncing their name.
Yeah.
Or they have a hard time pronouncing what they see in school as far as books and...
Right.
They can't even name what's a continent or a state. Like, bro, like, let's get back to the basis of life. Like, I get it. The beat sound nice and it's catchy, but, like, don't let it catch you.
Right.
You know
that's a bar.
Yeah, it's catchy.
It sound catchy, but.
Don't let it catch you, bro. You know what I'm saying? Once it catches you, it's like, it just puts you in a trance, bro, because music is powerful, bro. Like, it's so powerful. And people don't understand how powerful it is. And that's my gift. That's why I'm like, bro, you got to open your mouth.
Yeah.
You got to say something. You know what I mean? Because your words are powerful. And if God gave you this gift, how dare you?
Right,
not give it back to the world because you could change some things. You could change some people. So I'm here to shake up the game like a seizure, bro.
Yeah, super facts. And people tend to say, like, people that say, "Oh, she's an industry plant," or anyone is it? Because this is not specifically about just Sexy Red. Because she's not the only one.
No,
and
for sure.
You're not a hater because you're saying that you are observing something.
Yeah.
Like the industry controls what's popular.
Right.
The radio control what's popular. Mm-hmm. So if they are only putting money behind this and pushing this in your heads, how do you not see this is them trying to control a mindset?
Right, for sure.
And also a narrative about black girls, black men.
Mm-hmm.
If they only pushing the gangster rap, killing, sliding on someone, hoeing, screwing several niggas in a week and it don't matter. You know what I'm saying?
It's
like,
man, come on,
you
man.
Got to pay attention to these things and stop trying to ignore it. And when someone try to put game on you, tell you about it, you don't call them a hater for that.
Yeah,
we're trying to, you know, preserve what we have. I have a daughter. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
Come on, man.
Like, I don't want my daughter to be a Sexy Red.
Nah, bro.
You know how humiliating that would be? And and that ain't being funny. That's just a fact.
Bro, I can't, bro. I would feel less of a man. I wouldn't even feel like a father if my daughter grew up to become a Sexy Red, bro. Like, and it's not Sexy Red because who is Sexy Red? We don't know her story like
right.
that, bro. She's not really telling her story. She's just pushing what needs to be pushed because she got to get that check. Bro.
She got to. She
I
got
mean,
kids.
I mean, she got kids. She got to provide. She got to do all these things for, you know, her family and everything. So, like, she's going to do it by any means. And when you come from nothing, bro, the desperation is on a different level, bro. Like, you can never say what you'll never do when you're faced with certain opportunities, bro.
Right.
Like, she come from the gutter, bro. Like, sexual is gutter. So, like, I can't fault her for doing what she got to do to provide for her family. But it's like, at some point, you got to come to your senses. At some point, you got to say, hey, money can't buy me. You know
right.
I mean? Like, you like in the streets, they say, look, you be a drug dealer, but at some point, bro, you got to get out the game.
Got to.
You know what I'm saying? They say drug dealers make some of the best businessmen. Why? Because they can sell. You know what I mean? And it's hard to sell crack rather than selling shoes or, you know, selling a book or selling a course. Like, it's easy to do that because you ain't got to worry about nobody looking over your shoulder. You don't got to look over your shoulder worrying about nobody trying to get you, whether that's your ops or the cops. You know what I'm saying?
Right,
so, bro, but, I mean, nothing against AC Red, but, bro, it's just... I mean, I don't want my son to be an NBA young boy. You know what I mean? Because, I mean, like, bro, like, you see what the streets is, and it's hard to get out the streets, you know what I'm saying? Because, like, bro got kids as well.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? He got a lot of kids, and I want him to be around to see his kids grow up.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So, like, I mean, much respect to the NBA young boy, you know what I'm saying? He doing what he got to do to provide for his family, his kids, but it's like, bro come from the struggle. He come from the gutter, bro. And sometimes, bro, it's hard to get out that struggle. But once you make it up and you at the top, and you can actually speak of some things, change the narrative. That's all we're asking. Just change
exactly.
the narrative.
That's a fact.
Change the narrative, bro. That's all.
Yeah, yeah. Because so many times, like, if you're still living in a life, like, say if your stepfather, when he was there helping raise you, and he told you, like, look, man, you got to stay out of the streets. You know what I'm saying? You're only going to lead to two places, dead or jail. Mm-hmm. But he was in the streets. Are you going to listen to what he's saying?
Nah, because actions speak louder than words, bro. Sure. So, like, it's not about what you say. It's about what you do. Like, you can tell your kids not to, don't do as I do as I say. That don't work, bro.
Right,
Because kids, as you know, they're going to react. You know what I'm saying? They may not be able to talk, but they're going to dance like you.
Yep.
They're going to walk like you. You know what I'm saying? They're going to have your mannerisms. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, like, with that being said, bro, it's all about what you put out and what you say. Like, that's why... I don't regret, and I stand on everything that I talk about, everything I put out, because, bro, ain't no cat rap. Like, I live my life the way that I talk about in my songs, because either I came from it and I've survived enough to tell you about it, or that's what I'm doing, or that's what I did the other day. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm really, there's nothing, I don't have to lie about anything. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, when you don't got to lie, you don't got to keep a persona. You don't got to keep up an image. You know what I'm saying? Just be you. And people either going to receive you or they're going to reject you. And I'm like, whoever going to rock with me, going to rock with me. You know what I'm saying? Because I love
find your audience.
Yeah, you got to find your audience. And they got their audience. But it's like, once you get popular and you get that audience, bro, it's hard to step away from that.
It can be. It's a lot of pressure.
It's your influence. So it's like, it's hard to step away from that wall of influence that you built up over the years based off your struggle, based off the streets. You know what I'm saying? So they're like, if some people want to change the narrative, they may fear of how they're going to receive me. You know what I'm saying? But like, if you just be you from the beginning, I mean, what you see is what you're going to get, and you can watch me grow. You know what I'm saying? Like, man, Sexy Red, ain't being young, but they young, man. So it's like, they got time, but it ain't really about the age, bro, because I mean, I've known some kids that got taken out of here before.
For sure.
Their 21st birthday, bro. They didn't even think I was going to make it to my 18th birthday, bro.
Right.
I carried a gun since I was 12, bro.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I jumped off the porch early, bro. Like, so my mama didn't think I was going to graduate high school. You know what I mean? Like, it didn't seem realistic. Making out the hood didn't seem realistic. I said one of my songs, I said, I'm not the first in my family to fire ballistics. You know what I'm saying? Because making out the hood didn't seem realistic. You know what I mean? But I knew I was artistic. So they say either you play ball or you rap or whatever. You sell drugs. That's how you make it out the hood. But bro, it's more out there, bro.
It is. It's so many more options. And people don't realize that. And also, you got a track called Bet on Myself. Mm-hmm. So can you tell us, okay, define betting on yourself, and when was that moment, you know, in your life where you said, okay, I got enough confidence now, I done learned enough, I'm going to start betting on myself? And can you tell us about how you got into, like, your different businesses and things like that as well?
So I grew up in the church, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I always stood on faith, you know, but although I grew up in the church, my life really went astray. You know what I'm saying? Like, I was in the church pews, but I was also on the block.
Right.
You know what I mean? So, like, but my mama always said, if you're going to be in this house come Sunday morning, you're going to be in the church. If your friends stand over come Sunday, they're going to be in church. And I'm so grateful that my mom, like she taught me how to pray. She taught me, you know, like, church is important. And I didn't really get it until, like, I got older, bro. Like, I didn't really get God until I was like, you know, I don't got nothing left, bro. Like I looked after I chased after the girls, I chased after the drugs, I was in the streets heavy. It's like, but when that doesn't fill you, bro, when it doesn't provide something, when that void is still there, when you still find yourself searching and you coming up with nothing, you coming up empty, bro, like you're gonna be placed in a moment in time in your life where it got to be a higher power, right? So I say that to say this. Like, there's a man that came in my life by the name of Terry Powers. Mm-hmm. That's my pastor. But mm-hmm. he also became my father, like a father figure. Like, my stepdad taught me how to be a man. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like, you get up, you work, and you provide, and you protect your family by all costs. You got to do it consistently. And I watched mm-hmm. this man do it for years. But I got that. I got the work ethic. I got all that stuff. But when, you know, because my Terry Powers, you know, my father, like, that's my dad. That's why I call daddy. You know what I'm saying? Like, right. That's really Papa Bear to me. You know what I'm saying? That's who I changed my name. And my last name is Powers because of him. You know what I mean? So, like, my biological father didn't want nothing to do with me. So I have three men that was in my life. My biological father that didn't want nothing to do with me. My stepfather that stepped up and showed me how to be a man and taught me that work ethic that unlocked that key to music. Mm-hmm. And I watch a man love a woman. You know mm-hmm. what I'm saying? So I was able to see something. You know what I'm saying? He loved my mom. And I was able to see, like, okay, I don't got to see my mom get beat on. I don't got to see my mom get dragged. And I got to wipe blood off her back with a tissue. And for me, for her to tell me, make a promise that you'll never treat a woman like this. You know what I'm saying? So so when Terry Powers always been in my life, bro, he knew me since I was a baby, bro. Like, my grandmother was the one who introduced my mom to him.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So he watched me grow up, and he became my father. So it's like, in a sense, in a church, that's when things became real to me. You know what I mean? So, like, I changed my name. I changed my name to follow in his footsteps and to prolong his legacy. You know what I mean? So, like, he taught me how to become a man in a sense, or from a father's figure's perspective. Like, he poured into me in a sense where, you know, like, you got to groom yourself. You got to put your best foot forward. You got to show up in the world like this, because although you are a young black man, like, you got to look a certain way. You got to walk a certain way. You got to talk a certain way, because you're already at a disadvantage. The odds are already stacked against you. And the reason why you're here now is because of God. So being able to have a man in a spiritual sense and a natural sense, bro, it forced me to be like, wow, like, yo, like, I can actually get something from a father figure that I've been searching my whole life, bro. So just a testament to him. That's why I changed my name to prolong his legacy. So at that moment, that's when I turned 23, bro.
Yeah,
I was 23, so he helped me forgive my father. You know what I'm saying? He helped me become more of a man, and that's why I don't got kids now. Like you said, like, he can, although it was a bad thing that my biological father did to me and how I brought up under that frustration, that anger, bro. My son, my daughter, they would never know what it's like not to have a father, bro.
They
would never know what it's like not to see me, not to know who I am. You're going to know my voice. You're going to see me. I'm everywhere you are.
Right.
I'm not going to stop coming, and that's where Terry Power showed me, bro, like, I look, son, I love you. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. He got two other sons as well. Yeah. And I watched this man, bro. There's nothing going to stop me from getting to my kids.
For sure. So facts.
Like, bro, like that, man. Dog, like, whoa. Like, that's a father, bro.
Yeah,
like, this
yeah.
man loved me through everything, bro. Through everything. It didn't matter what it was, bro. He's like, look, you wrong. You off. You this, you that. But I love you. You know what I'm saying? And I'm going to love you through this, because why? Love covers a multitude of faults. So, but at that moment, when I turned 23, bro, I started working at Coastal Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
I was working as a janitor, bro.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I didn't have nothing, bro. Like, I'm on wit's end, bro. Like, I don't got nothing. I'm like, you know what? At that moment, I was like, I'm going to just trust you, bro. He got me a job at Coastal Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, you know what? I'm going to give up the weed. Mm-hmm. I'm going to give up the girls. I'm going to give up everything. And I'm just going to go all for God. You know what I'm saying? So I got the job as a janitor, bro. I was there for like 2.5, 3 years. You know what I'm saying? Working underneath him, underneath his leadership. And I worked hand in hand with him, right beside him, right? So he was kind of like molding me and grooming me, you know what I'm saying, to be. So I got promoted. So I was over the campus doing commercials. So this is how I got into the whole real estate, and not knowing the whole time, bro. Like, mm-hmm. I got promoted to be over a department. I had like 30 employees under me, and I was over like 55 buildings out at Coastal Carolina. So from there, after I got promoted, I was like, man, I'm doing all this responsibility. I got all this on my shoulder, but there's more out here, man. Mm-hmm. I'm worth more than $11 an hour.
Right.
I shouldn't be making $26,000. Like, ain't no way. After promotion?
Right.
Crazy. So I left Coastal Carolina, and I went to Horry County, and I became a code enforcement officer. And then I started inspecting houses, you know what I'm saying? So they offered me $11,000 more. Mm-hmm. $11,000 more, like, I come from,
for
bro.
Sure.
Okay, so now we at $37,000, just how my life kind of progressed. So mm-hmm. I left Coastal Carolina, went to Horry County, making around like $37,000, doing code enforcement. And then I would inspect all the homes for all these builders, D.L. Horton, Beezer Homes, Lennar, like every builder you could think of, big name builders, right. even small names. I would inspect all them houses. And I walked into a house one day and I'm like, if I got to do your job, I might as well do your job.
Right.
And I was riding in the truck with an older guy. And I believe that God just speaks to me in different ways, bro. He said, man, you're a bright kid. You smart. He said, man, I'm old. I'm fat. I'm not getting on the roof no more. You know, but mm-hmm. I think you'd be really good as a superintendent, as a builder. Like, it ain't hard. I know you can do it. Like, the way you pick up on codes and you pick up on this, like,
mm-hmm.
go for it. So I'm like, you know what? Maybe he right. So I went for it and I got a job with D.L. Horton. I was there for 2 years. You know what I'm saying? At this point, it was another $11,000 higher. So now I was making 48, mm-hmm. and then I outworked everybody. I started at number 28 out of all builders, bro. And in less than a year, bro, I built my first community within a year, 55 homes. I rose to the top. I was first in cycle time. I was first in customer service, response, everything, bro. Just mm-hmm. my name was just out there. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I was like, okay, cool. But I'm like, man, I'm on the wrong side of the transaction. I'm building these houses. I'm doing all the homework, all the hard work. I'm dealing with these homeowners, and I'm only making a $600 bonus on this house on top of my salary. And the sales agent come in, and she was able to make 10 times my bonus.
Mm.
I'm on the wrong side of the transaction. So I was like, what else? There's more out there. I got to bet on myself. So what I do, I go get my real estate license.
Mm.
And I start working with Century 21, right? So I got my real estate license. You know, so they're like, man, you're good with people. You're hardworking. You know what I'm saying? You work with integrity. I think you'd be a good agent. I said, okay, cool. So at this point, I'm just Xing off certain strategies, right?
I've
been building the foundation because you never know where life is going to lead you. So like, I'm like, well, if I could build all these foundations, because I got 17 certifications outside of real estate, bro.
Right, right.
So like, I went on a binge where I was just like, you know what? I'm going to do everything I can. So I went to school. I became a chef. And I got into culinary, a personal trainer, nutrition, women's health issues, energy and medicine. Like, the list just goes on, bro. But the reason why that list was stacked so high, because I didn't feel like I was enough. You know what I'm saying? I didn't feel like I had it. You know what I'm saying? I was still chasing something to fill that void. So I would overload myself because I worked better under pressure.
Right.
Or I felt like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm going to just overload myself because life has been hard. Like, throw it all at me. I'm going to knock this wall down.
Yep.
Every chance I get, I'm just going to run through it. And I would just stack degrees all at the same time. Selling drugs, in the streets, everything, bro. Being in the church, all of it. You know what I'm saying? So it's just like, you know, from there, after I left D.L. Horton, went to Century 21, got my license, I went to Beezer Homes, bro. And this was when the whole Bet on Me challenge started. So I got to Beezer Homes. They offered me a position to be a project manager there. And I was over a few communities. I was building a lot of houses, bro. And at this point, I'm building $500,000 houses now. You know what I'm saying? It's all production, but it ain't just, you know, a little cookie cutter housing.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So it's like, it forced me to be able to walk different, talk different. So at this point, I done built up under the tutorship of, you know, Terry Powers, of how I'm going to walk in these rooms, because it's all about who you show up to be. When you walk in these rooms, who are you?
Right.
I'm like, I got to show up. You know what I mean? So, but who are you going to show up as? You know what I mean? Like, I'm a kid from the block, but I'm buying the blocks back.
Right.
You know
right,
what
sure.
I'm saying? So it's like, so got to Beezer, right? I remember the first time I met Aries, bro. Aries and Joe's out on the board. But the first time I met Aries, I was in a suit.
Mm-hmm.
I was a real estate agent. You know what I'm saying? That was the first time I met Aries, bro.
That was the first time I was in a suit.
And bro was like, you do music? I said, bro, you got to know. You do music.
I thought it was like when you playing a game, it's like a glitch or something. Like, I'm in the studio. I'm like, what's going on right now? Like, I didn't expect that.
Like, you lost?
Yeah. I was like, yo, I got to take my music serious. You know what I'm saying? Like, I got to really, and I got to tap in with somebody within the area. Like, I want to tap in with like a studio. So I was like, they were like, have you heard of Glow Street? You know, so I looked into Glow Street. I looked into a couple studios around in that area. Cause I was like, you know, I got to take my music serious. I got to give that gift back. You know what I mean? Like, I know I'm talented because I started making beats. I am an engineer.
Right.
I am a little producer. You know what I'm saying? So like, bro, I make my own beats. I do my own mixes and everything.
Yeah.
So when I come to the studio, I make sure them boys ready to go. You know what I'm saying? Like, I got to make your job a lot easier. But it's like, you know, being a beat maker and being an engineer and all that, it's too many hats, bro. I just need to do music. You know what I mean? I just need to write my songs and tell my story. And that's when, you know, bro came in. So I was at Beezer Homes building houses. And then they're like, hey, man, you want to enter that challenge? What challenge? The Bet on Me challenge. I'm like, man, what? You got to listen to the beat. So I had got my hands on the beat. And I'm sitting in the car with my hard hat on, vibing to the beat. You know what I'm saying? I done did my work for the day. I found 15 minutes to breathe a little bit. You know what I mean? Music always finds its way to come back to me, bro. Like, music just does something for me that I really can't explain, bro.
Right.
So I'm sitting in the car. I'm vibing. I'm like, man, I got to bet on myself, bro. Like, I got all these certifications, man. Like, I got to bet on myself, bro. Like, I'm doing all this. I'm going to bet on myself. So, bro, I did the song, did the challenge. By the time I made it to the second challenge, bro, I wasn't at Beezer no more.
Mm.
I left Beezer, bro, and started running my own company and doing everything on my own, bro. Like, now in a position where I'm becoming a competition.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? I'm coming. You know
right,
what I'm
right,
I'm
yeah, for sure.
I'm coming for everything I got. So at that moment, I was like, man, ain't nothing to be scared of. Like, I'm not about to sit here and let my dreams get terminated.
Right.
I'll quit my day job before my dreams get terminated, bro.
For sure.
Like, this day job got to go. Like, and what's so crazy about that is I was making the most money in my family, bro. It wasn't nobody making $75,000 an hour.
Right.
I mean, $75,000 a year, $36 an hour. Like, this is the most money I've ever made in my life. So people look at me like, you a fool to walk away from a job like that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you're making money. I mean, I was making a lot of money at D.R. Horton. Yeah. Money that people in my family never seen. So it's like, for you to walk away from making $36 an hour, $75 a year, plus bonuses, well, you crazy.
Mm-hmm.
But I just had my boiling point. I was like, God, if you says my time to go, I'll leave. And it got to a point where something happened, and I got up out of there, and then I just betted on myself, and, bro, and I didn't look back. And I was like, you know what? Now I got the freedom. Now I got the flexibility. I need to book more studio sessions.
Right.
And that's when I started tapping in with Aries, and then I was like, Aries put a sale on his beats. And I say, bro, I ain't gonna lie to you, bro. I said, how many beats you got? He said, I can't even tell you, bro. It's a lot. You got to go on my website. I said, I'm gonna go with that song. I'm gonna go through your catalog.
Mm-hmm.
Bro, man had like 300 beats on it.
Yeah, show. Sure. I done seen that website.
I was like, yo, 300 beats. Bro, and I went through the catalog and I came out. I said, bro, I ain't gonna lie, this is my top 32.
Mm-hmm.
And right now, so me and bro just been locked in lately. I'm just going beat by beat, bro. I'm just going through them, bro. Like, beat by beat, coming up with hits, bro. Like,
yeah, I'm
on
making.
You know what I'm saying? So at that point, you know, I just was like, you know what? I got to bet on myself, bro. Like, I've been through too much not to bet on myself, bro. Like, who says I can't be a multimillionaire? Who says I can't own a business? Who says
I can't?
I'm the first person to go to college, bro, in my family. I'm the first person to write a book. I'm the first person to be doing what I'm doing, to have a business. And now I got my little sisters and my brothers looking up to me, you know what I'm saying, and following. So I'm just here to give people an example and to tell my story, bro. So, like, that's kind of the whole segment, how I got to, like, betting on myself. So that song really meant a lot to me. Like, people didn't understand, like, what it really meant, like, I'm going to bet on myself, bro. Like, I was going through that.
Yeah, and
I'm like,
reality.
Man, my breaking point, I'm about to bet on me. Like, I'm not about to have no regrets. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I bet on myself, did the challenge, and, bro, the rest was history from there, bro.
As you should, man. And, like, you got to bet on yourself, people. You hear this story that he has, and still, this is just the beginning. It's so much more to come.
Yeah, man.
You already overcome a lot.
Yeah.
But, yo, that's all that just going to prepare you for what's to come.
Sure.
You know what I'm saying? So much more going to come after this. But one thing I want to let people get from your story also is, you know, you went through all those things. You got this book called I'm Not My Emotional Abuse, you know, so you even went through things like that, but you still, like, you had to open that first door, you know what I'm saying? Because once you get the guts to open that first door to make a change, that door is going to lead to another door, and that door is going to lead to another door.
Mm-hmm.
And that's exactly what's happening when I'm listening to your story. So many things happen after you opening that first door. So what you got to do is bet on yourself.
Sure.
Go ahead and move from that situation that you in. He started off at an $11 an hour job. Start opening other doors that got him to that 75K. And next, millions from him betting on himself, not allowing his job to destroy his dream as well. So I'm listening to you, brother.
Man.
So, you know, and I just want people to get from it. I just want to get this breakdown and this summary to it as well. It's like, yo, don't be afraid to open that first door. It's going to lead to many other things. And don't look down on no minimum wage or, like, I don't want to go there and do this, because that door can open so many more if you just change your trajectory, change that situation that you're in. So, you know, I just love your story, man. I know you got so much more to talk about. And we got a dope segment coming up here soon too, where you're gonna drop some bars up in here.
Sure.
So y'all go ahead and make sure you tune in to that. Subscribe to this interview right now, and we're gonna have some bars dropped right here in the studio. Yo, anything else you want to let the audience know? Can you let them know how to follow you, how to tune into what you got going on as well?
Okay, so my name is Joshua Isaiah, right? It's J-E-S-H-U-A. Isaiah, I-S-A-I-A-H. So people may look at my name and be like, how do you pronounce it? So it's Jeshua, But my name means Jesus in the Hebrew. So far as going back to the Hebrew and Greek origin, that's kind of where the name comes from, you know, Yahweh, Jeshua, Yeshua. But you can find me everywhere. Joshua Isaiah, man. It's IG, Apple Music, YouTube. That's just me. So my name is Joshua Isaiah Powers. I go by my name because God said I make your name great.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? Your gift will make room for you and put you in the presence of great men. And that's exactly what I'm living and walking out right now. So you can find me everywhere, Joshua Isaiah, and you know, just tap in with me, man. That's it. And then my website is powerstobuild.com. So that's POWERS, the number 2, bill.com, powerstobuild.com. And on there you can book a consultation, you can see what we're doing in the community, projects, real estate, nutrition, chef, Lord. I mean, I cook too. Like, it's all creativity, man. So like, man, it's a lot that I can do.
Yeah,
you
sure.
Find me everywhere on Joshua Isaiah.
Hey, make sure y'all tap in. Definitely tap in. I'm gonna have his website in the description below as well. So definitely make sure you tap in. Until next time, you guys hold it down. Don't let it hold you. Peace.
Myself, I'ma better myself, trying to better myself and better my wealth and better my health. Feeling good, got the bread on the shelf. Back in the day, used to ride with the homies. Now today, I slide by my lonely. Knowing God got me, but you know I got it on me. I don't know.